now on the English programme, we are going to continue our little story of Richard the Lion-Hearted. We still haven't found out why they refer to him as the Lion-Hearted and not the Lion-Heart. Maybe during this particular episode we will discover such info. Here we go now with the continuation of this rather classic tale from history. It's all very fascinating, folks. I know the two, the cat and the mantlet. They are pretty contrivings, the both of them, but I set not such store on them as does the brother, my brother of France, and here I should say that the cat was like to a tent made of hides, long and narrow, and low upon the ground, with a pointed end, as it might be a ploughshare. What's a ploughshare? I don't know. You know, when I just said ploughshare, I sort of whistled, and it went right through me here. It wasn't very nice. Which could be brought up to the walls by men moving it from within, and so sheltered from the stones and darts of the enemy. That was a big sentence. As for the mantlet, it was made in somewhat the same fashion, only it was less in size, nor was it to be brought near to the wall. That's the problem there. King Philip loved dearly to sit in it, crossbow in hand. The French, I noted, like rather the crossbow, the English the longbow, because the French are very cross and the English are very long, I suppose, and would shoot his bolts at anyone that might show himself upon the walls. Baddies, obviously. But to come back to the night's story, an hour or so afternoon, when the cat had been brought close to the wall and the mantlet was in its accustomed place, some 50 yards distant, the baddies, the evil ones, made an attack on both at the same moment of time. On to the cat they dropped a heavy beam, and when this, with its weight, had made problems with the roof, or I should say, whatever, a great quantity of brushwood, and after the brushwood, all kinds of things and fires. At the mantlet, they aimed bolts from a strong engine. Have you got a clue what all this means? I haven't got a clue. I've got no interest in warfare and things. I love history, but when they start describing how they were doing the battle, I just sort of get really bored and sort of fall asleep. Because, you know, crossbows, longbows, cannon, well, I don't think they had cannon, but whatever they were using, to me it's just so boring. Boring, boring, boring. Anyway, before the nimblest-tongued priest in the whole realm of England could say a hunting mass, there was a big fire, basically. What the man might mean by the priest and the... It says here the hunting mass. Hunting mass. I don't know what that is. I knew not then, but heard afterwards that when a noble will go forth hunting, the service which they call the mass is shortened to the utmost, and the priest that can say it more speedily than his brethren, I love that word, brethren, are you my brethren, are you my brethren, is best esteemed. And my brother of France, cried the king, how fared he? He had a narrow escape, said the king, the knight, sorry, as ever had Christian king. His mantle, nay, all things were singed, and as for his crossbow, he was constrained to leave it behind. He gave commands for the assault in his anger, said the king. 'Tis even so, answered Sir Hugh. Methinks he is rather fond of gain and glory. If he had been willing to ask our help, he had done better. King Richard sorrowed for all the brave men, fellow soldiers of the cross with him, who had fallen to no purpose. Nevertheless, in his secret heart, he was not ill-pleased that the French king had not taken the town of Acre. This is the English programme.